This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. You're speaking live to tape with, you're listening live to tape with myself, the Blue Liner on point, your host. And with me, of course, live herself from Centerville, Virginia, in the Commonwealth, is the one and only mermaid herself, Anna Knox.
Yes. Happy Sunday, gal.
Here we are again. Yes, another Sunday. And is it happy for you?
If I wasn't feeling like I had cold coming on, yes. But and then there's some like really awesome football going on right now, so that does make me happy.
You're a bit distractified now?
A little distractified, except that the Niners are losing by 14, so that's okay. We're going to not think about that right now because we're all focused on the Capitals.
That's not good, but still, they're still a pretty good team.
They're a great team, but it's just, you know, they're up against the Cardinals who are just kicking ass this year, and I don't like them, so where we're at, but that's okay. It's all good. No, I'm good at, like, like we said, just the head cold is 'tis the season. And, you know, when the kids come in to class all germy, that's just par for the course.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of figured that was coming up because it's starting to go around because we're actually into November. We just finished up a week of November. So, we're getting there for sure. Weather's getting colder and all that. So obviously, but, how was Halloween?
It was good. It was good. It was, so every year we do like a fire pit at the end of our driveway and have, adult beverages with our neighbors. And then just, you know, do candy. And of course, last year was a bust. And the year before we had a good amount of people. But this year, people were like, hell yeah, we're coming out early. And like, you know, coming out strong. So I was like, holy shit, so good to go. So yeah, so it was good.
That's cool.
And I'm glad. Thank Jenny for filling in last week. So. Yeah, I'm glad that you guys were able to do the show.
Yeah, no, well, it was our own version of the insurance commercial, you know, because, you know, that's why Jenny's always hanging around. Sometimes she's at work now, but that's why Jenny's always hanging around, you know, because, you know, what if Anna, you know, can't make the show? Who am I going to tell my awful jokes to? What then? You know, what then?
God forbid, what's going to happen? He's like, set out the bat signal, and then it's like, who's going to answer the call? Jenny.
Right.
She is. No, I appreciate that.
Before we get to the hockey, a couple things I'm going to need to take care of. I'd like to take care of.
Yeah, go ahead.
And they're both kind of down notes. So we'll give them the treatment they deserve, but not, you know, try and drag everyone down. First one is, this name may sound familiar to some of our listeners. There's a gentleman who runs a couple different Facebook pages that we post on, most notably the DMV Caps page. His name is Gunnar Dean. And apparently he has fallen quite a bit under the weather. Our pal, who's also at that page, Lorenzo Robinson, let us know last night that he was in hospital and not really really, really out of it. Couldn't even talk was the last we heard. So just wanted to give a nice little shout to him. And Gunnar, hope you're listening. We'll try to keep the cursing to a minimum. But since the Caps lost three times, not going to make any promises. But
no promises.
We'll try for your sake, and do really hope honestly and truthfully that in all seriousness that you do get well very, very soon. And hope to see you continuing to rock the red. So, Gunnar, we're just wanted you to know we're thinking of you here at the podcast. So,
absolutely.
Thoughts to him and anyone who knows him. Of course, keep good thoughts because he sure as heck needs it. So it is November the 7th that as we're recording this, but later on this week, of course, it will be Veterans Day here in the US of A, and of course, Remembrance Day all around the world to commemorate mainly the Great War, World War I. And that's why you're going to see the coaches wearing the red poppies on their suits for the entirety of the month. So that explains that. But Veterans Day always, of course, means a bit something because I am the son of the son and nephew, cousin, etc., friend of many of those who have served proudly and with distinction in our the United States services, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, of course, no particular order, and Coast Guard. Don't want to leave them out. sorry, Sonia. But I wanna give some mention to them because I've never mentioned this before, and again, not trying to be too down, but I want to bring cause because of, well, one, something ongoing with veterans, and that's the fact that they have of course suffer from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from their experiences in combat and other situations. And of course we've had many, many veterans on, Chris Levesque, Bryce Yerkovac, to name just a couple. And we have many, many others who are supporters of the show. I'm just going to rattle off a few names. I mentioned one in passing just now, Sonia Kendall, Tony Olcott, Ron Schrantz, Brian Mosco, who is a retired Air Force. And of course, my friend who passed away, Rebecca Thomas, who was in the Marines. But I think it's important to shine a light on Veterans Day because of the issues with post-traumatic stress disorder. This is not something where you just shake it off by thinking positive thoughts, unfortunately. This is a real medical condition, and 22 veterans a day, it's medically diagnosed. It's statistically booked. It is real. 22 veterans a day approximately die as a result of conditions related to post-traumatic stress disorder, in that they either end up taking their own lives or the stress overtakes their health to such an extreme amount that their body can literally no longer function. So I want to shine a light on this with this Veterans Day coming up, because I really think it's high time that our government starts doing more for our men and women who have served, because they are the ones that have sacrificed, as we say so many times. They are the ones who put their bodies and minds on the line to protect us and serve our interests both at home and abroad. So I think, again, it's high time that, you want to do something for a vet, of course, thank them. Most of them will be grateful for that. Give them a little attention. Thank them for their service. You know, do what you can for them, especially one who's, a bit down on their luck. But I think the best thing you can do is advocate for them as best as you can with your state and local and, of course, federal government. Do what you can, because I think it's high time that this country pays them back for what they've done. And as one politician recently said, one aspiring politician recently said, they want equal. They don't want more. They definitely don't want less. They want equal to what everyone gets in terms of the care that's needed. So I think that's all that's called for here. And I want to give to end with this, end it by giving out the Veterans Crisis Line, which is toll free 1-800-273-8255. You are a veteran in need, mostly due to mental or I believe physical health. You can call that number anytime. It's 24-hour lines, I understand it. So again, that's 1-800-273-8255. You're a veteran facing any kind of distress in your life at all. Do please call that number. I want to put that out there. This is what little we can do on this little show of ours and serve those who have served us fantastically well. So just wanted to put that out there.
100%. Thank you, Gal.
Okay. So, all right, let's get to the hockey. So it was, as I mentioned earlier, three games, three losses, one of which was in overtime, thank goodness. So they at least got the Price is Right loser's point from that. First of the three was the first of the two road games in Florida against the Lightning. I don't want to draw a line through it because I don't know. What did you think of this game? I think they looked worse than the score was. Some say they played better than the score was. I really don't know what to make of this game.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of feel the same way. It was one of those things where I was expecting more. I was hoping more. I wasn't seeing it. But then I didn't think it was terrible. And then I think about who they're, you know, you going up against Vasilevskiy. So, like, I don't know. Like, I just kind of had a meh feeling about it. I wasn't pissed. I wasn't just kind of, I don't know. This whole week was just sort of, but yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I was not fired up about this game. I think I kind of felt going into it that I would have been surprised if we had won only because of, you know, who we have out. But I don't know. It was just there.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. I think that's pretty much how I felt about it. Because of course you had Oshie out, you had Dowd who was coming back, but I still don't think he's 100%.
Right.
Really, I mean, this game had some good things. You had Brett Leason with his first career goal,
of course,
to open. And I really don't think. I mean, Vasilevskiy, yeah. I mean, you're going to get what you get with him. And he, of course, stood on his head. Hard to believe, you know, he wasn't even nominated for the Vezina. But, yeah, he of course, he's going to bring his A game whenever he plays. So he's going to be really, really, really hard, you know, to beat. So, it doesn't really surprise me that they had so much trouble, you know, playing him. But I don't think Vanacek played all that badly. I mean, he faced, well, let's look at the vitals. He faced 26 shots, stopped 23. I don't think he played too badly. He played well enough for them to stay in it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I can't really see what more he could have done.
Honestly, look at the players that scored against them. So it's like
right, exactly, you know, exactly.
That's another thing.
Killorn, Cirelli, and the game winner from Braden. Somebody, please tell him it's not polite to point with the game winner. So yeah, I mean they're the defending champs. They're always going to be a tough out, even with the injuries they've got. So
is that 3-2?
Yeah, it was a 3-2. Yeah, 3-2 game. Yeah, exactly. A 3-2 game against the defending champs. It sucks that, you know, they lost it in regulation, but what are you going to do? So, I mean, I don't want to draw a line through it because it's a game they can learn from, but, you know, 33 shots on goal, you kind of have to, and you know, one of the top 10 goalies in the world, you kind of want to, you know, do what you can to make his life more miserable, I think, is what they should have played it. But, you know, other than that, well, face off, you know, stunk like, you know, a dumpster full of diaper pails, 42.6%. That ain't going to cut it. But other than that, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's just nothing. I think I was just like, meh. Again,
yeah.
Like, yeah. I didn't walk away pissed. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't, you know,
yeah.
Good for Leeson, but like just overall, meh.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Because, like you said, I think it would have been surprising had they come away with the win. But I think you got it, because that's how I walked away from it. We're gonna skip the Panthers game, because that's the one we're going to do something of a deep dive on, and go to the game from last night, the Philly game at home. This one, well, Leeson scored in this as well, and so his second of the year for the lone Caps goal. 32 shots again for this team, face off a little bit better. Power play was PU, blew all three chances. I think that's where they lost this game.
Yep.
There have been rumblings for a while to do something about that, namely fire the special teams coach, the PP coach, Blaine Forsyth. And I'm starting to think that might be the way to go, because they're way too predictable and it's not working. You've got all that talent and it just isn't working. So something's got to give. So,
and consistently not working.
Right. Exactly. So, exactly.
Come on now.
Yeah. So, another pretty decent performance by Vanacek in goal, 32 shots against, 30 saves. I don't know. Al Kokin was on before this game saying that goaltending needs to be better. But I don't know how much better it can be. I think Vanacek, well, there's always room for improvement, but I think Vanacek could be a little bit better. But I think effort-wise, you're always going to get his best. Samsonov, I think, is still learning the North American game. And I don't know, there's still going to be a lot of growing pains with him. And so I think the big question with him is how long a leash are they going to give him before they decide to cut bait? Cause he's supposedly only going to get better with age and experience, but I don't know. I just don't know at this point. I'm not saying I'm ready to give up on him, but I don't know. I don't know.
I think what I hate about the whole goalie situation is, you know, we don't dislike either player. I mean, I think we agreed on that, but I think that there's something about Vanacek's effort and, you know, given that 100-110% every game, that sometimes we don't see with Sammy, but then Sammy's statistics seem to look more appealing to fans. So, like, that's the hard thing is, you know, you want to hope for the best, but it's like, man, I don't know. There's just something about, like, I like when Vanacek's between the pipes, but, like, well, we'll talk about the Florida game, but I just feel like there's something about also his vibe. Like, I just feel like he wants to be there. He's determined, you know, he's kind of given it his all. And I do think that we have seen that from Sammy before. I just don't know if we're quite seeing it this season. That has me convinced to jump on board. I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm not. I mean, of course, he's got a total skill, but I'm just not as excited for some reason when he plays. And then for some reason, if, you know, when Vanacek does lose, I still feel like it's not all on him.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is either, you know, especially. If that makes sense. Yeah, no, especially when you consider the last over OT loss, which we're going to talk about here in a second. Mm-hmm. Well, that okay. That was with that was actually with Samsonov and goal. But one of the let me double check here how that. Okay, no, it was okay. So the goal I'm thinking of actually happened with Samsonov and goal. So I'm not going to finish that thought. But speaking of the Florida game and the goalies, well, this one yes. This one was the weird game of the week. I mean this one. They should have played on Halloween night is how goofy ass it was played.
It was ridiculous.
People were asking what was going on with the goalie switch and back and forth. And I can summarize it in one quick sentence. Sammy had to go pee-pee, so they sent out Vivi.
Oh, what? Pretty sure that's sense? Not how it was described in the locker room, but
well, I it wasn't.
But that was just it. It was like, is it really? Does it just truly come down to this kid needed to use the bathroom? So he's like, all right, listen, I'm gonna, you know, here's the deal. I gotta go.
It's not unheard of. It's not unusual.
Of course not. But I mean, it's like, but it just seems so, you know, I don't know. Like, it just set a bad vibe from the beginning because, like, he walked off and people are like, oh, you know, wait, well, he's not injured or is he or this or that. And it's like, you know, and Vanacek, you know, of course, was ready to go, but maybe not ready, you know, like it just, and so I don't know. Like, I guess I just felt like, it threw the whole vibe of the game off, to be honest. There was way too much focus on the goalie situation and not enough on what was going on with the other players.
Yeah, I get that. It can throw the focus off unless, you know, unless they make it clear in the locker room, which I imagine they did eventually.
Right.
What the hell's going on? But
right.
Still, you see your starting goalie, you know, step off within the first minute. Like, what the hell?
Right. So
I'm sure it messed with their heads for a little bit. And I'm not saying it contributed to the bad start, which there was a bad start. Now look at the first period. Panthers jump out to a 2-0 lead. Barkov with his sixth. And you guys out there listening, you know, don't think the Panthers are a decent team. Well, watch out. I think you learned that. You learned otherwise that night. Barkov with his sixth.
Who would say that they're not a decent team?
I don't know, because of their track record. I don't know, I don't know in past years, but yeah, but now for sure, I would say they're one of the legit contenders. So Barkov opens a scoring 3 minutes in. Aaron Ekblad makes it 2-0 8 minutes later. So
I really
yeah,
hate that last name,
Ekblad.
Yeah. It just, I mean, like, it just sounds like I have a case of the Ekblads or something. Like, it's just like, I can't imagine, like, wearing a jersey that says that name on the back of it or, like, having a sign that's like, go Ekblad. Like, it just is like a vomit name. You know, it's just, yeah, I got a case of the Ekblads. I don't know why. Like, it just, like, from the moment the game started and dealing with the bathroom issues or whatever with the goalies, and then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, maybe this kid's got a case of the Ekblads in the bathroom. I just couldn't get away from the name, and I was like, I just kind of hate it. I don't know the guy. Like, I don't know anything about him, but I don't like his last name.
I mean, too late for Halloween, but maybe got Transylvania. Go Ekblad! Go Ekblad!
Right? It's just it's just like it's not one you're gonna hear like the anybody chanting in the stands because it would just be like, bleh. So anywho, who cares? So he scored. Blah blah blah.
Well, for Ekblad or for better or for worse. It was 2-0, and that's how the first period ended. And then Daniel Sprong gets his second from a great, great stretch pass from Anthony Mantha. More on him in a few seconds. His second, 43 seconds into the second, gave the cap some life.
Can we just pause for 1 second just to say how awesome his energy is after he scores?
Oh, heck yeah.
I mean, that's the vibe that the team wants. And that's,
yeah.
that's a, like, I could wear that on the back of my jersey and be like, yeah, sprung. But like Ekblad, no. But he has had, like, whenever he, you know, before, prior to the season and this, I mean, it's like, I know it's only a second one, but it's like, man, his, it's just like infectious. This is awesome. I love Daniel Sprung's energy. So I think it's a great thing. And 43 seconds in, you can't go wrong with that.
Very true. Very true. And unfortunately, it would get worse before it got any better for our Caps. As let's see, so about 6.5 minutes after Sprong's goal, Brandon Montour would nail in his second to make it 3-1 Panthers. And then Barkov again with his second of the game 8 minutes after that, making it 4-1. And then with less than 2 minutes in the game, or the period rather, the captain puts the biscuit in the basket, making it 4-2. And it was sometime between somewhere in here, I think maybe a few minutes earlier, is when John Carlson took out Anthony Mantha. Yeah, you heard me say that. I don't think he did it on purpose, but yeah, that's essentially why Mantha's on the shelf right now, because they collided with each other on their own freaking power play. More evidence to the fact that the power play needs tweaking really badly. You got your own guys running into each other. But yeah, that caused a loss of manpower. And that's why and where Mantha is right now. Shoulder surgery, indefinite outage. We don't know when he's going to be back. Sucks. He's on IR. So yeah, that sucks big time. I forgot. You're going to kill me for forgetting about this. So that was not the last goal of the period. I thought it was. I'm checking, double checking the score sheet. So who should pull the Caps within one but a guy who, well, as far as the goal side of the ledger, we hadn't heard from until yet, but he was making his presence known. Yes, I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. And the fact that you were almost not going to say anything, I was going to have a little mini.
This was a goal that definitely turned around the game because, well, for one thing, it was in the magic nugget minute.
Ugh, barf.
It's one of those end of the period backbreakers, but it was also the way he scored. In that he parked his big self in front of the net. Got his stick in the way and deflected a point shot into the net and pulled the Caps within one. And I'm going to quote none other than Mitch the Beard Bates in that the wife likes it when Willie uses his shaft.
We all do.
I'm sure. But that was a quote that he put out there right after he scored that goal, and he's letting me borrow that. So Beard, thanks a whole lot for that. But in all seriousness, a great goal, a gritty goal that the kind I think the Caps should do more of. Bruce Boudreau and Alan May were mentioning of that after the Tampa game, and that they need that kind of scoring at least once in a while. So good to see that. Carlson and Ovechkin on the assists on that one. 4-3 it was until Connor McMichael would mark his first ever NHL goal, 6:56 into the third, and tie it 4-4. None other than the captain and Brett Leeson on the assists.
Yep. Which is fantastic to see, because that to me gives hope to the doubters out there that we've got the vets and the youngins coming up and playing together. I'm not worried about this team.
I'm a bit concerned. There are some things, as I mentioned, that they can do better, but the kids ain't one of them. That's not
right. True.
And the use thereof, you listen in RMNB, the use thereof of our younger talent, also not a concern right now. So yeah, no, there are some things that are to be worked on, but yeah, as they say, the kids are all right.
Yes.
Into overtime we would go, and yeah, this has been kind of a sore spot for our Capitales, as they cannot seem to win. Doesn't seem to matter who's in goal, Sammy or Vitek Vanacek. Sure. Does not seem to matter who's in the goal. It just it's a matter of just not keeping possession. And so what ended up happening was, so I'm watching the replay. Okay, so Florida gains the zone and there's a shot. Okay, so yeah, this is the unfortunate goal where, oh, you know what? It was Vanacek, because that's right. That's right. Sammy got chased.
True.
Sammy got chased. So yeah, so it was Vanacek. Okay, I thought it was Sammy that was left in goal. But yeah, it was Vanacek. So okay, you can't really fault him for this goal. You really can't, because it was actually meant to be a pass. If you look at the replay, and unfortunately, the guy who was a hero a period and a half ago, he reached out his big shaft, trying to block the pass, and unfortunately, he blocked the pass, but then it redirected the puck into the net past Vanacek's leg, and for all the hacking and whacking that went on in the game, unfortunately, that's how it ends. And so, you know, Willie is the reluctant goat in this one. I don't mean greatest of all time. But yeah, that's just puck luck for you. And so the Caps come out with the loser point, but not the win, of course. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? It's just one of those, the goofy shit things that happen in a game. So, it's a E2 Luosterainen.
All right.
Sounds like, good God, that sounds like some really bad European mouthwash. Was the goal scorer? But yeah, check out the vitals in this game. 42 shots on goal for the Caps. They finally woke up. Again, another sore spot. That's probably another the thing they need to work on. What do you and I keep saying, Anna?
Play 60 minutes of hockey.
How many minutes are there in a game plus overtime? 60 minutes, not 55, not 45.
Yep.
But yeah, this team took a period and a half to wake up, and yeah, I think ultimately it's what cost them.
Absolutely. And that seems to be the trend, and that is what's so frustrating. It's like, extremely. You can't rely on, you know, certain players to all of a sudden be like, oh, holy shit, we're down. Let's start doing something second half of the second period or into the third. No. 60 minutes.
Exactly. So exactly.
That's just my frustration. That and the inconsistency with the face-off. But
I think that's certainly something they need to work on. And yeah, it's not having Nick Dowd regularly and having him not quite at 100% is hurting them right now. Right. Of course, Backstrom can help you on that front too, and not having him doesn't help either. Kuzi's doing all he can, but you know, he's just one guy, and you know, Oshie's out too, and yeah, he can help you there. So you know, but yeah, you got guys in there that are trying, and that's, you know, it's all well and good, but you know, it's like, you know, it's like me and exercise. You know, it's not my thing, not their thing. So anyway, so that's I wanted to focus on that game though, because I think it was a classic shoot 'em up Caps game. And if they did not have possibly the potential distraction of the musical goalies playing, and all the other goofy crap that was happening in the game, Mantha being hurt probably didn't help with the rhythm either. I think that game for sure probably would have come out, because when they did finally wake up, there was life to their game. There was more skating. There was more jump to their game. So,
I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of negativity, chirps and this and that. But for some reason, I didn't come into this podcast tonight thinking I've got to throw so-and-so under the bus, or, so I've always gotten something negative to say about Orlov, but I don't have anything this week, truly, that I'm frustrated with. It is what it is. They're dealing with a lot of, players out, not 100%. I'll say players out and then other players, not 100%. But I am happy with what I'm seeing with the newbies. I mean, come on. This is how sports teams are. You're going to have your vet players who are fantastic, and unfortunately there are going to be injuries, there's going to be other things, but overall I didn't think it was terrible. I do think there were a couple of moments I wanted to see more across the board in the first period, like all three games. But I do think that they, it was there. But I did see something interesting today about the lack of chemistry that some fans are seeing, because the lines are so, seem to be like, well, let's try this. Well, maybe this. How about this? because of injuries. But I don't think that there's a total disconnect. I'm not seeing that. I'm not feeling a frustration. I feel like in the past I have voice that for sure, but I'm not seeing that right now.
You're not seeing the usual sloppy play that.
Oh, I'm not saying they didn't have sloppy plays. I mean, there were certainly moments for sure, but I just don't think it's time with 71 games left to hit the panic button and say this team sucks. Absolutely not. I'm nowhere near that. I just think that we're dealing with a situation where when you look at a roster and you think, okay, well, we already have played without Backstrom since the beginning, but still, that's a sore spot. And then now with Oshie, and then, Mantha came in strong when he joined the Capitals, and then he kind of teetered off, and then he came back and redeemed himself, and now he's out indefinitely. It was it's this ebb and flow of oh my God, we're here, we're good, we're not, we're this, we're that. But I think the players, are going to find their chemistry within the practice, and within the locker room, everything, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm not worried about that right now. And I'm huge on the whole chemistry thing. We talked about that ad nauseum over the last couple of seasons. But I just feel just pump the brakes. Got 71 games to go. 71 games to go. A lot can happen. A lot can change for the better. Who knows what the goalie situation is going to be. Who knows what, this, that, injuries, whatever. But I just don't feel like after this week, I'm ready to toss a towel in and be like, fuck these guys.
No, me neither.
I'm not there at all.
No. And I'm not really there yet either. I don't think I will be unless everybody's game goes to hell, but it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to lie through my chiclets here and try some cutesy passes on anybody and put one over, or freight train you with logic or statistics or anything like that. I'm going to go up the gut, keep hacking and whacking in this Harlem Globetrotter game, and throw a howitzer out there and just say, hey, look, keep supporting this team, because they're going to get up in your grill if you don't. Do a little shake and bake, soap on a rope. We're used to that, but they can play, the spark plug, tic-tac-toe type of game, and they'll get their twigs in order, and win the game along the woodwork, and so on and so forth. Oh boy, that's probably every Joe B in lockerism that I will squeeze.
I was gonna say, I think you got that, and then I was kind of waiting for you to
make a stuff attempt.
No, to make a comment on the I'm trying to look
Joe
at this.
B in lockers 25. Well, that's why.
No. On the player that broke his cock last night.
We'll get to that. But I wanted to throw out all those. Of course, I challenged all our listeners on our Facebook page to throw out every Joe B and or lockerism out there in honor of their 25th anniversary, of course.
Yeah,
they are so well regarded both around the league and especially in this household. Jenny will not watch a game that is covered by the away team. She will put it on mute.
I support that 100%. I put on mute and listen to John Walton.
yeah. So that right. So if. Yeah, we're forced to listen to national or the away team for whatever reason. Yeah, that's what we do, is put it on mute and put on good old Big John Walton and let him call it on a 40-second delay. So, we couldn't go by without celebrating them because, like I said, they're so beloved. And just want to give a shout to them. Because they are absolutely fantastic. The only thing I didn't like about that whole thing was they really, 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 NBC Sports DC should have showed as the last picture, their montage, the picture of them with their Stanley Cup rings. I really wish that would have been like the crowning glory. That would have been nice to see.
Absolutely.
As part of that. But it was, they showed him in the parade, and that was great. So. But yeah, there was that one other thing about Tom Gobble asked us to mention this, and
I just saw it, so I was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, I asked him, and I searched for it myself, and so did Robbie, I think. But yeah, this I think it was like either a meme or a potential misprint or something like that. Apparently, Kirill Kaprizov, the young superstar for the Minnesota Wild, there was a tweet that was put out that he hurt himself during the shootout portion of last night's game, and particularly that he hurt his cock. Yes, that's you heard right, C-O-C-K. I don't know if there was something else that was meant to be put there or if that was just put out there as a joke. I don't know what, but it is posted on our Facebook page if you want to see that tweet. I'm pretty sure it's taken down, but yeah, that's the second half of our
that's just it though. Like, it's on social media. He is never gonna let his teammates are never gonna let that down.
No,
that
never.
Is hilarious.
No, and I tell you what, if he did hurt himself, that's yet another reason right there to get rid of the shootout. If you hurt yourself there during
how
shootout?
Does that even happen? Like, how does that even happen? Think about it. Like, he's not goaltending.
I don't want to think about it. I mean,
I know. No.
No.
As a female, I don't want to think about it for any male, but just to be like, wait, what? Like, how does that happen? So, and who's the person that put that out there?
Okay. Well, yeah, I think we're gonna hold it here
yes.
on that subject and pull the trigger on this episode. Just had to stuff attempt two more on there, and say, yeah, we're not gonna completely draw a line through these games, but there's no need to panic at the same time. And I'm gonna say again what I've been saying: the glass to me is not half full; it's not half empty. It was a quarter full. I drank it. And I'm slamming my glass down, and I want the barkeep to give me more. So that's where I'm at, in case anybody is curious.
I just would have said half full, but that's okay.
Well, you know me. I got to be different.
That's true.
Yeah. So, so did you have any other thoughts? Anything you wanted to put out there?
No. I think we nailed it all. I feel like a very mellow in this episode, and I think it honestly is like it could be a head cold kicking in, but I just don't feel like I could get amped up. I wasn't amped up about these games. I just kind of was like, hey, there were some amazing first time moments to celebrate, and then there were some like, what the hell is that? But I didn't think that it was. I wasn't frustrated, you know. I didn't walk away frustrated, and I do think they have a hell of a week coming up. So,
yeah,
I may feel differently next week.
Yeah, 'tis true. And thanks for reminding me. A quick preview of coming attractions. So for this week coming up, it's back home again. Well, still 7 o'clock puck drop Monday tomorrow night at Cap One against the Buffalo Sabres. Now without Jack Eichel, interesting deal. Right. And then a 2-day rest and a quick little road trip to the heartland. They face the Detroit Red Wings.
All right.
And then this first back-to-back of the year, right from the get-go, 24 hours later, to the CBJ, the Blue Jackets. And then back home the next Sunday, not an afternoon game, but a night game. So that's going to be kind of interesting for the recording. But 7 o'clock puck drop back home, first of the year against the dreaded flightless birds, of course, also known as the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then it's their first long road trip of the year, right up the west coast of the good old USFA, starting with a back-to-back with Anaheim. Well, they're not really traveling anywhere in this back-to-back, but Anaheim and across the street against the Kings a night later, 16th and 17th, and then up to the San Jose Sharks for a weekend late game, 10:30 puck drop all three, 10 o'clock for the Anaheim game. And then it's the first ever game again on the 21st that Sunday against the Seattle Kraken. And that's going to be, I think, very interesting to watch because there's no book on that team just yet, you know, except right. They're probably going to be playing a Grubauer in goal, and you know what you're going to get from him. That's going to be a tough out. So previews of coming attractions there. Yeah, all in all, two road trips are going to be very interesting. Some games they should bank some points in, some not so much. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting test. So we're going to stop it here for the week. And I hope, again, my message resonates about the vets. You know, be more advocates for them if you can, because we really do owe them a lot is really what I want to come out with that. So, all right. So for the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that if you fall down in your own driveway, you can't sue anyone. You know why?
Nope.
Because it's your own asphalt. Oh, a little chuckle from the mermaid.
No.
I'm breaking
courtesy
through.
Courtesy chuckle. Courtesy chuckle.
All right, because you're feeling generous.
Yes.
Okay, that'll work. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.